Going into last week, a lot of people who run elections were concerned. They feared candidates would falsely claim victory. They feared lies about the election process would go viral online. And they feared possible violence and intimidation as the vote count continued. But so far, none of those fears have been realized. No violence, no false claims of victory. And even conspiracy theories haven't gotten much traction. And to find out why, we're joined now by NPR's Miles Parks and Shannon Bond. Hey to both of you.
Hey there. Hey, Elsa.
Okay, so how refreshing is it for there to be a good news story about the election? Miles, I want to start with you because you spend a lot of time talking to election officials. How good are they feeling about the midterms so far?
They're feeling great. And specifically, when they look at the landscape of candidate concessions, I think it's really clear. You know, even people like Doug Mastriano, one of the most high-profile election deniers. He was running for governor in Pennsylvania. He conceded his race after he lost. I talked about that with Jocelyn Benson, who's the Democratic Secretary of State of Michigan. In her state, there were election deniers running up and down the ballot, including for governor and attorney general. And both those candidates conceded the day after the election. And when that happened, she actually got emotional.
I got choked up a little bit because to me, that was like the affirmation that we did it. We actually ran a smooth election. There were folks who were ready, as we're seeing in other states, to pounce on anything. But it didn't work.
Now, to be clear, not every candidate has conceded. Even Benson's opponent, the Secretary of State race, who lost by more than 600,000 votes, she has not conceded. But the conspiracies that she's been pushing about the election, they haven't stuck in the same way they did in 2020, for instance.
So, interesting. Okay, well, Shannon, you know, these conspiracy theories really haven't taken hold in the days since the election. And I know that you and Miles and Hua Jingnan have been reporting on this. What have you learned about why that is?
Well, I think, you know, we know it's been 2 years for these conspiracy theories and this general feeling about election fraud to build. But in those past 2 years, election officials, the media, and social networks have also had time to prepare. And I think we've seen some of that pay off. Take Maricopa County in Arizona. It was the focus of some of the most viral fraud claims in 2020. And this time around, there were some issues on election day with ballot scanning machines that weren't working. But the county was quick to explain what was happening, to reassure voters their votes would be counted, and to push back on right-wing influencers who were trying to claim this was some kind of evidence that Republicans were going to be disenfranchised. And social media researchers we spoke to found overall these narratives around problems at the polls did not get the same kind of traction that we saw back in 2020.
So why is that? Like, we heard platforms pledge to make changes after 2020. Did that make a difference?
I mean, make no mistake, Elsa, there are still a lot of rumors and baseless fraud accusations
sure.
and conspiracy theories online. And it hasn't gone away. But it's true. Mainstream platforms like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, they've all expanded policies intended to curb the spread of election lies through things like fact checks, labeling. There have been mixed results on how successfully they're enforcing these. But I think the other dynamic here is that the social media landscape has changed. There are these fringe platforms popular with the far right. They've siphoned off some of the more notorious spreaders of these claims. And I think the best example here is former President Donald Trump, right? He was banned from Facebook and Twitter. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have access to a big megaphone. He had more than 100 million followers on those platforms. These days, he's posting on his own site, Truth Social. Those posts, you know, reach about 4.5 million people. They get screenshot and shared to mainstream platforms, but he does not seem to have the same reach as when he was posting directly on Twitter.
Exactly. Well, Miles, in 2020, I mean, we saw aggressive protesters showing up at vote counting centers, demanding to be let in, sometimes making threats. Like, why are we not seeing that this year? What's your sense?
I think there are a couple reasons. I mean, one is Trump. Trump was not on the ballot, and he is a very singularly motivating presence for a lot of these people. The other thing that I'm not sure we focused on enough as reporters covering this story is that the election officials, yes, have spent the last 2 years fighting misinformation. But they've also spent the last 2 years making new partnerships with law enforcement. And I think that part of this as a deterrence mechanism is something that I don't know that became clear until this election. You know, one of the videos that has been kind of highest profile coming out of Maricopa County since voting happened last week was outside of the tabulation center. There were a couple protesters, but then you saw basically 10 police officers on horseback also patrolling the counting center. That kind of deterrence seems to have made a big difference here.
Huh. Well, a question for both of you is, you know, given all that has happened, or maybe more importantly, what has not happened in the last week, what do you think? Will election lies continue to be a big problem over the next couple of years before the 2024 presidential election?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to, first of all, just look at the fact there are races that have not been called yet. I mean, there is still, people are still wary right now about what might happen over the next couple of weeks as we wait for votes to be officially certified. And I also think it's important to recognize that there is a portion of the population on the right that are now where this is really hardened. You know, they're going into any election expecting fraud. And that does not seem to be going away. And so I think the question for our reporting is, are institutions and the broader voting public resilient enough to keep those kind of factors from eroding democratic systems?
Yeah, it's definitely too early to claim victory for election officials. I talked recently with Maggie Toulouse Oliver, who's the Democratic Secretary of State of New Mexico, and she says she's basically waiting for the other shoe to drop. But she's also acknowledging that, yes, this round seems to have gone really well.
It's been really nice to have a return to what I consider, you know, the norms of our democracy, you know, accepting election results, peaceful transitions of power. And it makes me feel hopeful for the first time in quite a while.
The last few years have been so hard on people who have been running American elections. Right now, they are letting themselves feel a little bit of hope.
That is good news. That is NPR's Miles Parks and Shannon Bond. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.